We're beginning a new series today, Operation Spiritual Gifts. Operation Spiritual Gifts. I want to teach you about God's gifts for His children and His church over the course of the next 8 weeks. I believe that it's imperative that we teach you, one, that you're gifted, and two, how to operate in your gifting. You know, we're not just here to be entertained. We're here to use our gifts to bring kingdom glory to God's house and to His mission. And we are on a mission, those of us that know Jesus Christ. And what is that mission? To go into all the world and make disciples of all what? Nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you have a gift, and God wants you to use your gift. Amen? Some of you have been told your whole life that you're stupid or you're not gifted, but I'm here to tell you what God's Word says about you, that you are gifted, you are special, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were bought with a price, and God wants to use you for His kingdom glory. It's not enough just to come to church and go through the motions. God wants to use you. He has purpose for you. And when you find it, your life will never be the same. So what are these gifts? How do we operate in them? Why do we even need them? I'm going to tell you all that over the course of the next 8 weeks. But I was praying about an old covenant picture of new covenant gifts. And God took me to Genesis chapter 24. If you have your Bibles there, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 24, beginning with verse 10. But I want to tell the story quickly, if I may. The father of our faith, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah, they had given birth to a son named Isaac, the son of promise. And Sarah had just died. And it was a time of mourning for the nation. But Isaac had come of age and he was ready for a wife. And Abraham wanted his wife to come from his homeland. He didn't want his wife to come from the land of the Canaanites because he didn't want to be in covenant with a curse. There's a lesson to be learned there. Be careful what you covenant with. It's important that you're in covenant with people of faith and people who are heirs according to the promise. The Bible teaches us that. So be careful who you covenant with. So Abraham calls his most faithful servant, Eleazar. And the servant puts his hand under the right thigh of Abraham. And Abraham says to his most faithful servant, he says, listen, I want you to go back to my homeland and I want you to find my son Isaac a wife. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to go by faith. And Eleazar, being a man of service, says, listen, I don't, what if I can't find one? What if I find one and she rejects me? I don't want to disappoint you, my master. What do I do with this? And he says, you go, and if you do as I've told you, if they refuse you, you will still walk in my covenant blessing. So Eleazar sets off to the native land with 10 camels loaded with gold, jewelry, and gifts. Everybody say gifts. Gifts. So he knew that in order to grab the attention of a young bride, he needed some gifts. If we're going to grab the attention of the lost world, we need to be operating in our gifting. We need to show the world our gifts. Not in arrogance, but we need to show them what God has gifted us with so we can better serve them. You see, gifts draw people. Gifts bring credibility. Gifts validate our mission. And we need all the gifts in this house. We need your gift. We need my gift. We need all the gifts. So, like anyone else, Eleazar gets to the native land and, you know, he's kind of making a deal with God, which I don't advise that because that doesn't always work out so well. You know, if you're asking God for something, you say, God, I need you to speak to me at midnight. I need it to be a neon sign and I need it to be between two clouds. My experience is God doesn't always speak to us like that. We shouldn't put that kind of demand on God, but Eleazar Abraham's most faithful servant, he puts a demand on God. He says, all right, here's how I'm going to know, God, if this is the bride for my master's son. He says, listen, if I go to the well with these 10 camels during the times where the daughters come to get water, and I go and one of the girls offers to get me something to drink and then offers to give my 10 camels something to drink, I'm going to know this is God's choice for Isaac. So sure enough, he goes to the well. Beautiful young lady named Rebecca comes to the well, gives Eleazar something to drink. Then as he wished, she offers to get the camels a drink. He then knows this is the one. So he asked her, can I stay the night at your place? She said, my family would love to have you. We have food, we have lodging, you come stay with us. Bethuel was Rebekah's father. Laban was her brother. They go to the house. But before they do, he gives her some gifts. He gives her a gold nose ring. He gives her some gold bracelets. It's in your Bible. You read it. It's cool stuff in there. Gives her some gifts. So she's standing out in front of everyone. The gifts are what drew her attention. The gifts brought connection. And the gifts brought credibility. So he takes the 10 camels over to her father's house. He talks to the family. He tells them about his vision and how he'd asked God to show Abraham chesed, loving kindness. And he says all these things. And eventually, if you get to the end of the story, they bless Rebekah to go with Eleazar to be married to Isaac. And this is what they said to her in verse 58. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, listen to this, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Verse 62, now Isaac had come from going to Beer-lehi-ro, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Somebody say the gifts. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? So we know she looked good. He must have looked pretty good too. And the servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent. That was marriage back then. Y'all get that? Okay, I'll stop there. And then he took Rebekah into the tent, and she became his wife. And he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now Abraham is a picture of our heavenly father. Isaac is a picture of the promised son. Eleazar, Abraham's most loyal servant, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. 10 camels came loaded with gifts. And Rebekah is a picture of you and I, the promised bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and then you have his church. And so let me get back to the gifts. The gifts brought attention. The gifts brought validation. The gifts bring connection. And when they met with the family, they brought credibility. So that is why we need the gifts if we're going to be the bride that God has called us to be. The gifts are what's missing in the church. So I believe with all of my heart that God has gifted us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be more, to do more, and to have more, but we've got to grab hold of the promise. And in order for the bride to function as the bride, the Holy Spirit had to bring gifts. In the old covenant, the same must happen in the new covenant church. Paul would say this to the church at Corinth, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit convicts, it cleans, it fills, it heals. If the Holy Spirit was good enough to get you saved, He's good enough to get you filled. If it's good enough to get you saved, it's good enough to get you healed. There are diversities of gifts. Everybody say we're different. But the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, which we taught you this past Wednesday, the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now all of us should have faith if we're saved, but there is a gift of faith we'll teach you in the future. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He will. Somebody say amen. Amen. So there are at least seven motivational gifts, but I believe there are nine because I split encouragement and exhortation along with leadership and administration, because if someone has the gift of leadership, they may not have the gift of administration. I have the gift of leadership, but I don't necessarily have the gift of administration. Some people may have the gift of encouragement, but they may not be called to be public encouragers and to speak in public. So let's start off with the body of Christ. What does it look like? How are we supposed to function in our roles? First, the gift of prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. I believe this gift, these are the eyes, everybody say eyes, of the church. Now, we'll talk about prophecy as a ministerial gift in just a moment, but the gift of prophecy is insight, truth, and correction. Prophets often have valuable insight, they're committed to truth, and they bring correction. Now, you don't necessarily have to be a preacher to function in prophecy. You don't necessarily have to be able to predict future events that'll happen during the rapture to be a prophet. You just need an unction to tell things the way they are and to bring correction. Somebody say amen. Come up here, Les Steen. I want to embarrass you a minute. Come on up here with Pastor Ronnie. Now, Les Steen's not a preacher, but I believe Les Steen has the gift of prophecy. Amen? Now, the first time I met Les Steen, we're going to have to be G-rated up here, okay? They're not ready for me and you to talk like we talk yet, okay? All right, so the first time I met Les Steen, we were over in the faith building, and she was coming on the bus. Now she's got her own vehicle, job, about to get married, blessed, glory to God. God's done a great work, but I met Miss Les Steen, and I said, now we got to be good up here.
Okay.
I said, what's going on that bus every Sunday? And she said, in the way she says, we're going to be good up here. She said, Pastor, and I'm about to let her talk. She said, these people that come on this bus, they're not clean. They don't wash. And it's a problem. You go ahead. Tell them what you told me, but, you know, PG version. Here, let's be, there you go.
Pastor, they need to take a bath and freshen up before they come to church. If y'all want me to be the bus monitor, I'm going to speak my mind, whether they like it or not.
Come on. So from that day forward, Miss Lestine became the bus monitor. I said, you are now the bus monitor. You decide who gets on the bus. You decide who gets off the bus. You are in charge. She's the leader. And God has blessed her. Y'all give Lestine a round of applause. Love you. So, Lestine had the gift of prophecy. I can't tell you everything she said, because y'all get mad at me. We're not ready for that yet. But she brought correction. And she said, Pastor, there ain't no reason people can't take a bath. There's two or three showers and free soap at the shelter. And she told them, she said, you're not coming to my church unless you take a bath. She told it like it was. That's the gift of prophecy. Some of y'all think you got to be mysterious and write books on the rapture to have the gift of prophecy. No, you just have to have enough boldness in the Holy Ghost to tell things the way that they are. The gift of prophecy. The prophecy is the eyes of the church. Sees things everybody can't see. Service, the gift of service. These are the hands of the church. Highly motivated servants. These are people whose joy comes from serving. Think of many of our saints. You see, John Jahan gets here in the freezing cold, doesn't get paid, driving that shuttle every week so that our seniors can get in here safely. He doesn't ask for anything. Everybody you saw on the stage serving with their worship gift today, I'll forget people. My friend Jim Biggs, he comes here, he puts more hours than some of my employees do. Never asked for anything and still tithes really well. And the deal is, though, I told him when he first got on fire for the Lord 9 or 10 years ago, I called Teresa, I said, listen, he's serving too much. I've seen this 1,000 times. He's going to burn out. He's going to get frustrated. I'm about to put him on the bench for 6 months and make him go to church with you. And she started crying. And she said, please don't do that to my husband. She said, it's the only thing that keeps him going and excited. If you take serving away from him, you take everything away from him. Because he serves and it gives him joy. Now, my wife, she's like that. She's keeping the nursery every Sunday. She's in the bookstore. Now, she's gifted to do other stuff, too, and when she speaks, y'all like her better than me, but that's not really her thing. She wants to serve in the background and correct me and tell me what I need to be doing, okay? She's a servant, but her joy comes from serving. Kelly always gets on to me when I let people serve me because she's Baptist and she doesn't get it. She's like, you just don't let them do that. You can open your own water. Give me a break. You don't... I said, Kelly, that's their spiritual gift, to serve. They're not serving me, they're serving the King. I just happen to be in the way. Teaching. These are people that love to teach and are concerned with doctrine. The teachers are this is the mind of the body. The mind. These people are committed to doctrine. Doesn't matter how many people get saved, how many mission trips we do, how many homeless people we feed, teachers want to hear sound doctrine. They want to help the church in the area of doctrine. And these people need to have time to teach us. We have many group teachers. These people are committed to discipleship and strengthening the body of Christ. Then there's the gift of giving. This is the arms of the body. These are the people that love to bless other people. These people embrace kingdom thinking. They understand what Jesus meant when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. These people are committed to giving. Giving is not a chore for them. The offering time doesn't offend them. They don't care if you take 30 seconds, show a video, or take 10 minutes, or if you preach a message about giving. These people love to give and thank God for them. They have the gift of giving. Then there's the gift of exhortation. This is the voice. This is the voice of the body. This is what goes out into all the earth. This is the pastor's job. This is the voice that you hear, the voice that encourages, the voice that evangelizes. And other people have this gift too. Exhortation, the voice of truth that comes from the pulpit, it ought to reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. Exhortation. That's why I split exhortation and encouragement. Because I believe exhortation is meant to be public, and the gift of encouragement If exhortation is the voice, then encouragement is the mouth of the body. Like Barnabas was to the Apostle Paul, we all need encouragement. Some people have the gift of discouragement. These are the people that want you to, they want you to go to lunch and you're doing this. You see them coming and you're finding something to do real quick. I'm thankful for those who have the gift of encouragement. Those that can look past your faults and tell you what you can be, not what you are not. The gift of encouragement will lift you up from despair and depression. I'm thankful for the gift of encouragement, the mouth of the body of Christ. The gift of administration. The gift of administration. All of these can be found in Romans chapter 12. The gift of administration, you're going to hear more about that this Wednesday. Pastor Denise has that. Pastor Angie has shifted really from a leadership position in media into more of a lifeblood ministry. The gift of administration is how it all gets done. These are the people who are concerned with the nuts and bolts of the ministry. Pastor Adam has this. Nerds. Everybody say nerds. We need nerds. We need more nerds that are organized, that know how to get things done, that know how point A gets to point B to point C. We need these people in the kingdom. And some of you think, well, I'm shy, I'm nerdy. But if you're organized, we can put you to work. There's something for you to do here that'll help us be all that God's called us to be. The lifeblood, how things connect. The gift of administration. The gift of leadership. If administration's about the circulation, then leadership is about the head of the body. It's the head of the body. These are big picture people, visionaries. They will assume leadership wherever they see weakness. Leadership is not complaining about what didn't get done, it's finding a way to get it done. Leadership is the ability to look at something that needs correction and lead the charge to fix it. Leadership is not pointing out what's wrong, it's leading the charge to make it right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Mercy. Stand up, Seth. Get up. Seth says he's the sunshine and rainbows guy. It's his words. Y'all give Seth a round of applause. Now, everybody on this staff has more than one gift, okay? I'm not limiting them to one gift, but Seth's the mercy guy. We have staff meeting every week. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It's always going to come back to this with Pastor Seth. Well, if we'll just love them, if we'll just love them and not act like we love them, but actually love them, then God will work this out. Seth wants to see that we are serving people and loving people, not out of religious ritual, but out of authenticity. And if you'll get your students here, he'll love on them. That's why we brought him here, because he's got a gift to love people and encourage people. We need more of that in the house, the gift of mercy. Now, these gifts have the potential to rub. If you walk out of the bookstore, or if you walked out of the bookstore this morning and you had your latte and you tripped and you spilt it everywhere, each person that operates in these gifts, they're going to handle your situation much different. The prophet is going to go, you stupid idiot, why were you carrying so much? You wouldn't have spilt it if you would have had one hand free. Pastor Ron's amen because he's a prophet. Prophets bring correction. Hey, you dummy! The gift of service is going to get the mob to clean it up because they're called to serve. And the gift of service is annoyed with the gift of prophecy because the gift of service goes, if you'd quit yelling at them and just get them off, this could be finished by now. Then there's the teaching gift. This is Dr. Randall Collins. These gifts want to do a four-part series on how not to spill coffee and teach you the Hebrew and the Greek and show you why we will never have as many spills in 2019 as we did in 18. They're gifted teachers. Then you have the gift of giving. This person, I can pick on a few people, but people don't like, the people with the gift of giving don't like a lot of notice. So I can't call some names I'd like to call right now. The gift of giving says, let's just buy these shatterproof, spill-proof cups for the whole church. Then we'll never have to worry about another spill if we quit being so cheap and spend some money. Then there's the gift of encouragement. This person sees the spill. They don't care about the mess. They don't care about the problem. They don't care about the fact that someone could walk by and slip and fall and break a leg and sue the church. The gift of encouragement just comes alongside the person. I just want you to know it's okay that you spilled that. We love you. You're awesome. You'll never spill this again because there's greatness on the inside of you. Lord, help me. The gift of administration, Denise and Angie, they'll want, well, we need to announce this in the church and we need to have protocols on why people can never spill. And we need to have huddles every 3 days to address this problem. Brainstorming sessions and feedback. And take minutes to make sure this never happens again. Leadership, I don't even know anything got spilled. When I find out someone's already offended at the prophet, three people are in a fight and two people have left. The gift of mercy. Now this is Teresa Biggs. She thinks she has discernment, but she's got mercy. Oh God, we're so sorry. We love you. Can I buy you another cup of coffee? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Mercy. Mercy. These are the gifts that motivate the church. Let's get serious and let's talk about the manifestation gifts. Just an overview today. These are endowments of power that come on God's children for the good of others and for strengthening God's church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So there's motivational gifts. Everybody say motivation. These are manifestational gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come on us. These are the gifts that come from God, these endowments that help us do the work God's called us to do. Spiritual gifts. Three of these manifestational gifts I would consider to be miraculous gifts. Healing. Somebody says God can still do it. God can still do it. Miracles and tongues. For you Baptists, the T word. Because whenever you mention tongues around Baptists, they get real nervous. They think the snakes are coming out. Disorder is going to run rampant all over the service. You're going to apostatize and everything. But these are valid gifts in the Bible that come from the Holy Spirit that make the church who God's called it to be. Manifestational gifts. Mysterious gifts. Mysterious gifts. What are some of those? Martyrdom. You think of the disciples of Jesus, how they were killed, beheaded, crucified upside down, all these things. People that died, the Anabaptists, the people who fought, were drugged through Colosseums so that we could worship Jesus Christ today. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, puts a special unction on certain people who know they're about to walk through death's door for the kingdom of God. It's an anointing that comes from God. Who could be happy about torture? How could Jesus say, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do"? Because he was fully God and fully man, because the unction of the Holy Spirit came on him to do what God had called him to do. He says, "Greater works you and I will do," so that same unction can come on you to do what God's called you to do. We've got to increase our faith, amen? We've got to stir the gifts up within us. Then five gifts that minister, the fivefold ministry. Everybody do this. Fivefold ministry. You've heard this preached your whole life if you grew up in church. Apostles. What is an apostle? It is one who is sent. Apostles govern regions. Apostles govern regions. Now, senior pastors have to function in all five of these. They really do. But most pastors will be strong in one or two, but they have to figure out a way to function in all five. So an apostle is someone who governs regions. You say, "Pastor Ronnie, why do you travel and go places?" Because if I'm brothers with someone or they are a son of this house, I feel like when I'm called to preach there or to minister there that I'm going as an apostle on behalf of you. So does Pastor Ron. We are sent. We've got to take this grace message, the anointing from this place, into other regions. An apostle has that mandate on their life. So if you're called to be an apostle, you're never going to be comfortable just standing in the same place. You got to go. Everybody say go. You got to go and you got to create things. You got to build things. You got to oversee things. That's why I'm glad we're doing stuff in Dominican and Israel and Jamaica and all these things we've started. You know, they're not perfect and they're problems, but it's a blessing to get to oversee that. So when I go, it's not burdensome to me. I know when pastor goes someplace where he feels connected, it's not a burden. Doesn't matter the size of the church. We're family and we're called there. And when we go, you go. You got to see yourself that way. You got to see yourself when one who is sent goes, you get to go spiritually with them. Everything that's special about this place gets to go. Prophets, as I said, bring correction, warning, and truth. And I know this church, you know, for years my father was Pastor Shepherd 1, Prophet 2. And now you have Pastor Shepherd 1, Evangelist 2. So we're different. Neither one of us wrong. That's why I still have Pastor Ron preach 10 or 12 weeks a year to get y'all fixed. Amen? Because if I've encouraged you and evangelized you too much, I'll have him come in 3 or 4 weeks in July and tell you, "All right. Look at what he preaches. Look what he preached the last Sunday in December. What was the title of that message? Advance or die. A prophet." What he's trying to say at 70-something years old is God's got an anointing on this generation rising. You got to go with them or you're going to die. That's what prophets do. They correct. They rally. They fix. Shepherd evangelist, we lead. But we're focused on getting people saved and healed and restored. You got to have both. Evangelists draw the net, present the gospel, bring folks into the kingdom of God. Evangelists are popular. Billy Graham's about the only famous preacher I know that most people love. Why? Because the gift God gave him, evangelism, is a popular gift. Evangelism, you don't make people mad. You don't deal with the difficult parts of Scripture. You don't even have to deal with people on a daily basis. You get to come there, smile, draw the net, catch the fish, and you're out. So everybody loves an evangelist. Am I preaching to y'all this morning? Good. Pastors. Pastors are shepherds that oversee the flock. First and foremost, if you're a pastor, you're a shepherd. You gotta shear the sheep, hit the sheep back in line, clean up the sheep's mess, shear the sheep, protect them, love them, cover them, clean them. You gotta deal with all of it, and you gotta do it with a smile. And the only way you can do it was with the Holy Spirit. Because these ministerial gifts, they are also an unction from God. God gives you a special anointing to do it. You can't do it in your flesh. And then teachers, these are lifelong learners who bring knowledge to the body of Christ. That's why some of you charismatic-leaning folks get on my nerves when I bring a teacher in here that's a genius to unfold some things about God's Word, because you guys don't feel like God moves unless it's huck and buck and scream and run around the building. When every now and then, if you get the right anointed teacher in here, they can do more in an hour of teaching than you can do with all your running. Oh, I know this is making you mad, but with all your running and yelling and shouting, sometimes a good lesson on what God's word says will set you free quicker than all those things. So we need all five of those gifts in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. These are gifts, and God has gifted us. And the next 6 or 8 weeks, you're going to hear during offering time what we're doing and what we need you to do, because it's not enough just to stand on the sidelines. We need you to serve. We need you to find out who you are in Christ. And we need your gift. We need your gift. We need you to be serving. How do you know if you're in the right fit? It's not a burden to you. Doesn't mean you don't have bad days, but when you're in your anointing, it's not burdensome to you. It fills you up to get to serve, to get to teach, to get to give. Whatever your gift is, when you're operating in your gift, it fills you up. It doesn't drain you. The Holy Spirit fills you up. He doesn't drain you. If you're being drained, you're doing it in the flesh, and you need the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. Acts chapter 2, they were all in one accord, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind came, and the fire of God fell in the upper room. Pentecost happened. God gave them the power to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We need that same power today. It's not going to happen simply through strategy. We need the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. I love this. It says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured it out for the purpose of seeing and hearing. For the purpose of seeing and hearing. So God supernaturally, through the power of his anointing, has gifted you to function in this thing called the bride, Rebecca, to function in this thing to bring about a harvest and a generational legacy. So all the gifts, number one, are supernatural in nature. Everybody say supernatural. You need the Holy Ghost. Number two, these gifts are not goals to be attained, but tools in which you are to be trained. Just leave that up there because it's good. These gifts are not goals to be attained, particularly the spiritual gifts. Everybody, oh, I got to have this gift. They're not goals to be attained, but tools in which you are to be trained. The Holy Spirit will train you. Jude talks about building yourself up in the most holiest of faith. The Holy Spirit trains you from the inside out. Now, we have opportunities for you to grow, but the best thing you can do is be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will train you. Number three, the gifts are not ours. They belong to God. They're his. So if you've got a gift, a popular gift that everybody likes, it's not you, friend. Remember to point it back to God. Amen? We're his vessels. There's been far too much flesh glory in the church over the years. All we are is human beings made of dirt that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is gifted. And we Christians, we follow around anointings like a bunch of groupies following around a rock concert or a country concert. We follow around men and women of God like a bunch of groupies. Won't you seek Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Quit waiting for the next person to lay their hands on you. Quit waiting for the next evangelist to come that you admire. Quit waiting for this one to pray for you and that one to pray for you and being around this one. Don't you know that Jesus died for you, fills you, heals you, loves you, has called you to greatness? You're never going to get there chasing everything, chasing the wind like Solomon, chasing this, chasing that. Won't you serve God where you are? Won't you call upon the name that's above every name right where you are? Won't you ask God to fill you, teach you who you are? Won't you have some faith? If you're not in your right gifting, won't you find where you can be in your right gifting? Ooh. Find who you are in Christ and walk that thing out and trust God to do it. We quit too easy. We quit too easy on the Word. We quit too easy on God. We quit too easy on our church. We quit too easy on our marriages. We quit too easy on our friendships. We quit right before we're about to get our blessing. Right before God's about to do something, we quit. We give up. We're on the verge of a blessing. Don't quit. God's about to do something. They belong to God. Number four, the church needs these gifts. Been studying a little bit of Hebrew lately, and the word avad, A-V-A-D, avad, means to worship, but it also means to serve. When God told Pharaoh, let my people go, the purpose in that was avad. It was so they could worship and serve. He took the Israelites from a place of slavery to a place of service. When God created the earth, it said, for the first 6 days, avad, work. And then on the seventh Sabbath, rest. God, I believe, is calling us supernaturally right now to work and to operate in our gifting. You know, we can't do it without you. I hope these funny connections that I've drawn for you today have shown you that one gift won't get it done. We'll never be who God's called us to be unless we're all in this together as a family. We've got to work together. And I need you to help. I need you to pray and seek God. Seek His gifts for your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to the church. The church needs these gifts. Why? Number one, to reflect Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. We need these gifts to reflect Jesus. When I told you the story about Isaac and Rebecca, what drew her attention first? Everybody say the gifts. Is it possible that when people out there see your gift, it's going to draw them into covenant and connection with the house, with the bride? That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to bring us into a place of connection and covenant in His kingdom. Commitment. So when you go out there, you're going out as an apostle, one who's sent. Amen? To reflect Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me from heaven and earth. And then He commissions them to go into all the world. We've been given that same authority in God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. God has given us keys, and we can walk in the authority that God has given us if we'll just trust Him. Not just to reflect Jesus, to restore what the enemy took from the earth. God wants to use these gifts in the church so that the church can take back the ground that the enemy stole. So we've been given a sense of authority to take back the domain that was originally intended for us. But you can't do that without the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not just to restore what the enemy took from the earth, but to rebuild the tabernacle of David. So we can have worship in this place. So God can move in a powerful way. If you don't have a word, go to the Word. If it doesn't sound like something Jesus would say, don't say it. If it doesn't build community, then let's don't do it. If it doesn't honor God, forget about it. We need the motivational gifts, the ministerial gifts, the mysterious gifts. We need all the gifts. We need the miraculous. We need everything operating in this place. But it's got to have 100% buy-in if we're going to ever find ourselves in an authentic move. We can be in an outpouring. We can be in a revival. We can have a ripple effect. But if we're ever going to see true revival, we need 100% buy-in. Everybody say 100% buy-in to the vision that God has called us to. This can't be selfish ambition. It can't be Jezebel. Can't be control. Can't be drama. You got to find your gift and you got to serve the house in your gifting. So how? Make yourself available to be used by God in your gifting. How do you make yourself available? Be a vessel. Everybody say vessel. Ask God for His supernatural anointing. Expect Him to show up in your life and start doing things through you. Submit to God and His will for your life. Surrender. There comes a time where you're going to lay everything at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, do something with this. Next, operate in love. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Listen, I'm thankful for all the gifts, but some of you are so gifted you forgot to love. Some of you are so doggone spiritually gifted, you don't love anybody. You judge everybody. You find fault. And that's not a spiritual gift. Being a jerk is not a spiritual gift. And some of you need to learn to love people into the kingdom. You need to learn to encourage people. You need to learn to speak love and walk in love. If we'll love people, we won't have enough room. Three of you agree with me. If we'll love people, we won't have enough room for what God wants to do. And I close here. Embrace the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doctrinal. It's definite. It gives you direction for your life, and it'll deliver you from all unrighteousness. You're to not be ashamed or scared of the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you've seen things or been a part of things that didn't jive with the Word of God. Forgive that and embrace God once and for all right now. But you have an anointing, 1 John 2:20, from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. You have an anointing. I've taught this. The anointing is God putting His super on your natural. You can't do it by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. It saves, heals, and convicts, pulls down strongholds, heals you, gives you the power to evangelize and do kingdom work. It's present at Pentecost, present at creation. It'll be present when God comes back for His church. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. So how do we do it? Somebody say, stir the gift up. That's where I close. You got to stir this thing up. Therefore, I remind you, Paul would tell Timothy, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Stir it up. Everybody say, stir it up. Stir it up. Build yourselves up in the most holiest of faith. You want God to do something, you got to believe it. You got to walk it out, and you got to stir it up, man. So that's what we're about to do. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Last week we reminded you that if you've been born, and even in the womb, you are a gift from God. And you need to know that God has gifted you. He loves you. He has a kingdom that He wants you to walk in. And that starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Romans, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So this morning, before we move along with the laying on of hands, I want you to be saved. Say, Pastor Ronnie, I'm lost. I don't feel gifted. I don't feel like I have a relationship with God. I don't have peace with God. I'm hurting. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to help you come into covenant with God, His Word, and the Bride of Christ, the church. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, it's the most important decision that will be made today. In just a moment, I want you to come tell one of these pastors. The Bible says, if you'll not confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come down and make this commitment public. Tell a pastor, I prayed to receive Christ. I want to come in covenant with this church. I want to be all that God's called me to be. But many of you, you're realizing the power and the significance of the Holy Spirit in your life. We have people who are trained, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, that will lay hands on you today. It's not about who lays hands on you. I'll lay hands on you. But just because I lay hands on you doesn't mean you're going to get the Holy Spirit, because it comes from God. He's the gift giver, friend. So it doesn't matter who you go to. In fact, it doesn't matter if you pray with the person that's sitting next with you for the Holy Ghost. Because my heart's desire is for you to have the real thing. not religion. You need the real thing. So I don't care if you ask the person next to you, if you know they're saved, say, will you pray for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now? Will you pray with me? I need healing. Will you pray with me? Listen, we're supposed to be a family, right? I want you to receive the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor Ronnie, well, what are you even talking about? Didn't I receive that when I got saved? Yeah, you received him into your spirit. But some of you have never functioned or operated in the kingdom. So you need to be immersed in the things of God. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to receive your power from on high. You need to be filled up with God's glory. And it's being poured out. Would you stand on your feet in this house? You come to Jesus quickly if you need Jesus. If you prayed with me to receive Christ, you come. If you need to be filled with the Spirit and you want us to lay hands on you, we'll do it. If you want to pray for the person sitting to your right or to your left, do it. If you have a word of knowledge, you want to speak in the life of somebody, you want to bring encouragement, maybe you want to give to somebody. Maybe God said, hey, bless this single mom today. Hey, bless this person. Whatever it may be, you do it. You do it. Heavenly Father, I ask for your mighty anointing to fall on this place. Come, Holy Spirit, now as we worship through the laying on of hands. Fill your people with the Spirit. Heal them. Deliver them. Give them your gifts. All the gifts. Lord, I pray that people will move from slavery into service, from complacency into kingdom, and from lost into found, and from blind to now I'm free. Lord, you do what only you can do. Just start praying right now in the Spirit with me. Just come and go into intercession right now. Hallelujah. You come to the kingdom.